This ROFM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to my show, Everyday People with Camille. You're listening to 92.7 ROFM, your community access station here in little old Masterton. How are you today, everybody? I hope you have had a good week so far. I have had a fantastic weekend. The weather is a little bit cooler today. It is 14 degrees outside, mostly cloudy, but they've got snow warnings down south at the moment. Snow warnings. Isn't it nearly summer? I don't know what's going on, but I'm guessing we're going to feel a bit of that if we have some southerlies come up the island. It has just gone 9 o'clock here on the 20th of November. Oh my goodness, not that far till Christmas. Today's show is actually really epic, and I'm really excited about this. I have Joe Patongaroa in the studio with me this morning, and I have Anthony from Sacred Art, and we're going to be talking with them and finding out a few things about them. But firstly, I'm going to put on an interview that I did on Monday with Lady Six. Now, look, that was pretty epic for me. One of my favourite songs is Like Water, which came out quite a few years ago. And being able to speak to the person that actually wrote that song and sung it was really cool. The reason why I spoke to her on Monday is because she has just released her latest and most anticipated song, Alofa. So in this interview, she is going to tell us about why she wrote this song and what she is up to. So let's just get into this without further ado. This is my interview with Lady Six. Hi, I am now talking to Lady Six, who has been described as a vocalist, MC and truth teller. She is the consistent evolution of Lady Six, has firmly cemented her as New Zealand's undisputed queen of hip-hop, soul and R&B. And I took those words from Spotify because I think they're the best way to describe you. Welcome to my show.
Oh, hi. Thank you so much for having me. And so Spotify said that, did they?
Yes.
That's cute. Yeah, thank you, Spotify.
I reckon. I think it's very cute and it's very spot on, I think.
I wonder if I wrote that myself. Like, I'm trying to think, like, who feeds Spotify these things? Is it me? Am I saying this about myself? I'm not sure.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's in the bio anyway.
Oh, cool. Oh, yay. Well, thank you for saying that. It made me feel very good this morning.
Oh, no, that's so good. It's always good to feel good in the morning. Right, the reason why I'm talking to you, and I've been playing this song consistently and in the gym this morning, you've just released a long-awaited release, a new song called Alofa.
Yes, that's right. Yes, is it a good gym song?
Oh, yeah. It actually is. It is. It's in the morning. It's a good chill jam. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. Yes. Excellent.
So what inspired the song?
Well, I mean, I sort of like, I'm loath to tell the story because it's a bit sad and I'd like, my family lost our mum in 2020, like right on the lockdown. And yeah, it was a big, horrible mess, as you can imagine, for everybody that lost anyone during that time. It was just like nothing was normal, you know. So we didn't end up having her sort of memorial and funeral and all of that until a year later.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Because we couldn't do anything at the time, gather.
Yeah.
And throughout the whole process of it, because she was like a very prominent figure in our family, I would say the matriarch of our family, and it kind of ended up, like, I think it happens with a lot of families where, like, if something like that happens, it kind of can tear a family apart.
Yeah, absolutely.
Depending on how people react and how people take things.
Yeah.
And it did that to my family, and it was actually quite awful because we were such a tight-knit family. Seemingly my whole life, but sort of without her anchoring us, it kind of like all turned into a big mess.
Oh, wow.
And so I ended up sort of writing about that. A lot of the record is kind of about that and about coming through the other side of that and grief. And then I guess because I started writing it as I was trying to come through it and as I was sort of a little bit through the other side, I wanted to like focus on the lessons and focus on sort of like the transformative part that comes from massive changes where you can see the hope, where you can feel like it's not all bad and we're not just going to collapse and everything's not terrible and we're actually going to get through it. So it was kind of like like that. And then the guys who produced me, my husband and Parks and Brandon, I just leave them to it. I sort of almost don't tell them what the songs are about. They just kind of like completely make whatever they think musically we need as a group. And so then I ended up having this kind of like 1980s sort of I don't know what it is. Like, but it's like there's a little bit of break dancing in the beginning, and then it ends up being sort of soul in the back. Like, I'm not really sure what's going on.
Yeah,
but
it's good. It is good. Yeah. I actually did pick that. So, I listened to the song, and then I got the lyrics, and I read the lyrics while listening to the song, and I was like, I'm not too sure if this is a love song, like a breakup song. I feel like this is a song written for someone that they've lost, and it, and being able to pick that up, and then you being able to sort of say, yeah, that is what it was about. It is such a beautiful song for that. Absolutely.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, good. So, I'm always a bit bummed out because I'm like, oh, it feels so joyful. Like there's such a like joyful upbeatness to it. And I always want that as well. Like in terms of just like the message is that, tough times happen, but you can get through it. Give, you know, chuck some time at it. Time's really, a really huge healer.
It is.
And, you know, like, and life just chugs on. You can't stop it. So like you either, you know, sort of roll downhill or you're kind of like, try best to kind of climb up that hill.
And that's what we all sort of strive for, is to climb out of situations. Because if, you know, if nothing changes, nothing changes. So, absolutely.
Exactly that.
Yeah. So you are on tour at the moment for November.
I am.
Yes.
I am. Well, we just did our last show last Thursday on Wellington. I mean, sorry, I said it like that was our last show, but no just like the last show that we did was in Wellington on Thursday. And it was wicked. It was awesome.
It was at San Fran, wasn't it?
It was San Fran.
Oh, I love that place.
Feels like home going back there.
Yeah.
So we did that. And every show has just been like phenomenal. We have Tauranga in a week's time, I think.
Oh,
and
then
Auckland at the Others Way Festival at the studio on K Road here in Auckland.
Oh, wow. That's so good. What's it like getting back up on the stage and performing? Has it, I'm not too sure, tell me if I'm wrong, but has it been a little while since you've been up performing new music?
Yes, a little bit. Actually, we are little sneaks. We like to, we like to kind of like, make sure that we are well rehearsed before we do stuff. So I ended up doing Shapeshifter, ended up having this, their 25 year anniversary, and we went on tour with them and we snuck in a whole bunch of new songs as their support act, just to play them out, just to see like, what's the vibe? Are people going to be like disgusted that we dare play new music that they don't know? But no, they liked it. So it was like, it actually gave us the impetus to put on like the whole idea, like, oh, let's put on the tour. I think they're going to be fine. I think our audience, and not only has it been fine, it's been like so well received.
Oh,
that I'm like, let's do this again.
Yes.
In the beginning of 2025.
Yeah, don't stop ever,
please. Let's not stop.
Oh, I am a huge fan of your song, Like Water. Like,
Yay!
That speaks so much to me at a certain time of my life. And that song is like always the song I go to. But now having a loafer, honestly, it is beautifully written as well. So thank you for that.
You're so welcome.
Yeah.
Actually, about Like Water, I just recently saw that, you know, Thomas Sainsbury, the comedian.
Yeah.
Like he did a playlist and put Like Water as like his top number two song. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
He's so cute.
He's so funny too. Oh, how cool. How cool. Oh, look, I really appreciate you talking to me this morning. I, honestly, I am honoured and I feel very honoured to be in this position where I can get people's stories out there as well on my show. So I'm very privileged. So you're going to be in Tauranga and you're going to hopefully be touring into 2025, and everyone can just follow you on like Facebook and stuff like that.
Exactly that.
Yeah.
Facebook, Instagram. I don't have a TikTok yet. I don't know if I'll get one. I feel like I'm scared. I've got like sort of like this partial addictive personality. Like, you know, like I've got this block game that's kind of like Tetris, and I literally am giving myself RSI on my thumbs because of it. Yeah. Like, I think if I have TikTok, forget about it. Yeah. My thumbs are gone. That's it. I'll have to get them chopped off.
Oh, you go down some rabbit holes on TikTok. I can tell you from my experience for sure. Thank you so much, Lady Six, for joining me this morning on my show, Everyday People on RFM 92.7. I hope to chat to you again one day. You are more than welcome on my show anytime.
Yay, thank you. All right, I'm coming back. Excellent. Expect me, Camille.
Next single release,
I'm going to be like, I need to get back to Camille on 92.7.
Absolutely.
Let's go.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Oh, that was amazing. Do you know what? That was just actually really cool. That's the first time I've listened to that interview right through. So, oh my goodness, so, so good. You're listening to Camille on her show, Everyday People on 92.7 Arrow FM. So what I want to do now is play her song for you as well. So this is Lady Six's new latest release, Alofa.
What's up? This is Lady Six talking with Camille on 92.7 Arrow FM.
When it all came out of blue, I didn't know what to do. I tried. I must have fallen from the podium. You made special for me. And this girl you wanted to die. Well, you were everything you need. Everything to me that I.
Lady Six there with her latest release, Alofa. Oh my goodness, that is such a really cool song. Like she said, it's sort of like breakdance beats in there, and what a beautiful message behind it, and written for such a beautiful person. So thank you, Lady Six, for just being able to talk to me the other day. So thank you so much. Hey, look, it is now just about it's 14 minutes past nine. Hey, Anthony.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well. So, the reason I know you is because you've stuck your fingers in my nose, and that is because you are a piercer.
Now, I think that's absolutely fantastic, but I think that there's more to that than, you know, just that. So I want to know, where did you grow up?
I grew up here in Masterton.
Yeah.
Yeah, just spent my whole life here.
Excellent. And how was that? How was it growing up in Masterton?
It was up and down.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, we weren't like super well off.
Yeah.
But we also weren't like struggling all the time. So yeah. it was average, yeah. I would say.
And what school did you go to?
I went to Lakeview and then to Makoto College.
Oh, nice. I went to Lakeview when it was Hiona, and I wish they'd turned that into a college as well. I was an A student at that, and their athletic champion. Anyway, this isn't about me. Oh, my goodness. I tend to do that sometimes. So did you enjoy it at those colleges?
Yeah, it was nice.
It was nice.
I know. It was nice.
Yeah. School sometimes, eh?
Yeah.
It's not that easy. But growing up in Masterton, we were just talking about how much it's changed. Like for my other guest, Joe, we've seen heaps of changes and you've seen gradual sort of changes. And being a very young person yourself, and seeing things like the skate park and that come in, how do you feel about that?
I think that's really cool. Like,
yeah.
There wasn't really a lot that was exciting.
Yeah.
For like younger people growing up. It was pretty much make your own fun or go to the playground.
Yeah.
And at the time the skate park was not the best thing in the world. It's cool seeing it have like new life breathed into it, and that whole area as well.
Yeah, it's really cool, eh? And there's a youth hub there as well. Have you been down and had a look at any of that yet?
I've been around the area.
Yeah.
I prefer to avoid crowds of people.
Oh yeah, same here. Oh no, that's why I love studios. Yeah. Oh yeah, no, I can completely resonate with that. It is actually really cool. And so after leaving school, which wasn't that long ago, in all honesty, was it? So, what did you do after you left school, and how did that lead you to what you're doing now?
So, when I left school, I pretty much did a whole lot of nothing for a whole year, and essentially just sat on a couch.
Yeah.
And then I got into a retail and hospitality course because I kind of figured I should probably sort myself out and do something. And it came to like the end of that whole thing, and we were preparing our CVs and seeing about like handing them in. And I saw that Sarah had posted about needing an apprentice piercer, and I was like, oh, I like piercings.
Wow.
I figure I'll try my luck. And honestly, the first time I got I think it was a text back from Sarah, and she said that I hadn't got the job.
Oh.
And so I was a little disheartened by that. And then it was like a week later that she texted me back and said to come in for an interview. And that was like, I think it was like the 9th of April.
Yeah.
And I started a couple of days after that.
Oh, that's so good. And how long ago was that? Because, yeah, you've been there a little while, haven't you?
Have I been there 5? I think it's coming up 6 years.
Oh, see. Oh, you started when you were a teenager. That's actually really brilliant because you're the face of piercing, literally. is what I'm sort of, yeah. So, it's kind of a unique industry, isn't it? And, you know, you've got to have to... oh my God, I can't stand the sight of blood. And I can imagine you see a bit of that. Starting off as an apprentice, did you practice on humans first?
No, I wasn't allowed to touch people for a little while. So
yeah.
We had this fake skin that I would practice just piercing techniques on. So I started just practicing with ELO piercings.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of just learning about the hygiene stuff.
Mm.
I would watch Sarah pierce. I would like wipe down afterwards, practicing like holds for clamps and stuff just to get me ready for when I actually started doing piercings.
Yeah.
But it was only like a couple of weeks of practice before we were started getting people in who were comfortable enough to let me do just like one or two ELO piercings on them.
Yeah. That would have been nerve-wracking as well, wouldn't it?
Oh, my God. The first few piercings were absolutely horrifying because I still wasn't quite used to being in that environment. So I was just so awkward around my clients.
Yeah.
I didn't know the whole, like, etiquette, and I was still, like, I don't know, at that point, I guess, still trying to figure out, like, who I was. So that was a whole, like, confusing era as well.
Oh, yeah. I don't think that era ever leaves.
No, it doesn't.
But that's really cool. So there obviously, like you say, there's the health standards and there's the etiquette to it as well. Do you every now and then go on courses or do some sort of study or something like that to learn new techniques? Because it's ever-changing. I mean, the first time I got piercings, I was off those guns.
Yeah.
Yeah, so do you do lots of stuff like that?
Well, there's a lot of, like, bantering between artists and stuff like that. That's, like, the biggest thing that is, like, it's so cool. We just share information with each other. Like, someone will learn something new or they'll start trying something different so other people will pick it up because it's, like, it's more efficient. It saves time. It's a lot better for, like, you and your client because it makes everything easier.
Yeah.
It's just, like, a whole network of just exchanging information between each other. And there's, like, resources out there for piercers in the professional industry, and they give you, like, lots of information that you can read through and stuff like that.
Yeah.
When it comes to, like, hygiene standards, like, things you can do in the studio to make everything, like, nicer for your clients, more efficient, what you can do to, like, minimise, like, cross-contamination and stuff like that.
Oh, true. And, like, I remember when I first got my a piercing through Sacred Art, my septum, and you didn't have that room that you have now. You had that sort of partitioned bit, remember? I can't remember who it was that first did it, but it wasn't you. I don't know if you were there yet. And then now you guys have that space, and it's just for the piercing, isn't it? And the chandelier. It is so good.
It's such a nice space to have.
Yeah.
Like, it's nice being sectioned off completely from the tattooist because it can get quite noisy because you've got the artist working and then people coming up to the counter and talking. So if you're trying to, like, cover aftercare with your clients, it can be a bit too much.
Yeah.
Or just, like, you don't have eyes on you while you're trying to work from, like, strangers. You can kind of limit how many people you have in there as well.
Yeah, as a client, kind of, like, I appreciate that. Yeah, sorry, yeah, I appreciate that as a client.
The nicest thing.
Yeah, because when it was in that partition bit and you had to redo my septum because I hadn't had it in for a few years and I used some colourful language and I knew that everyone could hear me and I didn't actually care at the time because, hell, it hurts. But it's just like a quick punch in the nose. That's all, you know, we can handle that, can't we? But no, it's so good to see the business that you work for evolve in the way that it has. Yeah,
it's been so good seeing, like, all the different things that have, like, popped up with the business flourishing while being there.
Yeah, and the other week I had Nicole on, who is the second shot mama, isn't she?
Yes.
And she's just fantastic as well. It's such a nice place to walk into, and you're made to feel welcome and comfortable and not like you shouldn't be there or something like that. And there's always some sort of activity going on. It actually is brilliant. Is this something that you see yourself doing for a long time? Is this it for you at the moment, eh?
For now, like, I don't know, it's kind of hard to imagine what I would be doing in the future because for now, like, I love body modification. Yeah. That's my whole thing. And I want to do body piercing and expand on that as much as I can and go into more, like, out there kind of, like, alternative body modification art forms. But for now, I'm content being in Mastered and just, like, doing my work at Sacred Art.
Yeah, because if you weren't here, it'd be, you know, the way that you aspire to do these things, I think it's brilliant for the area as well. And the body modifications that people are doing these days are out the gate. And so visually you're just like, wow. And I that kind of thing appeals to me, but it's not something I will be doing myself. I'll stick to the tattoos. One quick question is, what is your favourite piercing to do?
Oh, I get asked this a lot. And
do
I
you?
Have to say, hands down, it is the industrial. It's such a simple piercing, but
once
you see them get done, it's the bar across the ear.
Oh, I love that, yeah.
Like, there's something so satisfying about once you've actually done both the piercings and you've put the jewellery in it, just sitting there perfectly.
Yeah.
I don't know. Out of all the piercings I could do, it's the least complicated, but the one that brings me the most joy.
Oh, I might have to get one of those, actually, because that's one I've always wanted to get, but I sleep on my ears, and I'm like, I don't know. Oh, you do sell the pillows, though. Yes, the donut pillows. You do. So there's no excuses, Camille, really, just the fact that it's going to be bloody painful. So this is something that you see yourself doing for a long time, and we appreciate you for that, because honestly, you've got a really cool vibe, and you always make me feel very comfortable when I ring up and say, I'm about to flip a table, I can't get my septum back in, and you're like, come on down. And I appreciate that, and all the other staff there. So huge shout out to Secret Art Tattooing and Piercing right now, eh? Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, and so do you want to do a shout out to anyone or anything like that? Nah.
I think I'm good.
I think you're good too. Anthony, it has been an absolute pleasure talking to you. I think you've been booked in for being on the show for so long, and I'm just so happy that this has finally happened. I really appreciate your time, so thank you so much.
Thank you for letting me be here. I was honestly like, I'm sweaty.
Yeah.
I was terrified like leading up to this, and then like 5 minutes beforehand, perfectly fine, and now I'm just sweaty and gross again, and yeah, it's not even that bad.
I know. I'm not that scary on weekdays. Hey, guys, you're listening to Camille Show, Everyday People, on 92.7 RFM, your community access station. I am about to play a new song by Chris Drabble and Thomas Oliver, Time X Love. Look, I'm going to be speaking to Thomas Oliver all the way from Bali next week. This song that he wrote with his brother, sadly, not long before his brother died. So this is one of their other releases, Time X Love.
Nothing, and pretend that it's giving us something. We can swipe to the right, tell more lies online, but it's only time that means anything. So we post a 15-second story, make it seem like our life isn't boring. Keep our eyes on the flies in the hope they might, but it's only time that means anything. Rhythm that actually matters in the end. It's time, time's by love. It's time, time's by love. Time's by love. As if you saw. As if your time don't mean anything. But we can't even tell what is real. Every face has been fucked by a needle. With the filter applied, everything is a lie. Till our lives don't mean anything. The only algorithm that actually matters to the thing again.
by Chris Drabble and his brother Thomas Oliver. Thomas Oliver will be on the show via video link from Bali next Wednesday morning. He is getting up at 3 a.m. to join me at, will be 4 a.m. for him. And I'm really looking forward to that. That was a really beautiful song. It has just gone 9:29 on Wednesday morning here, the 20th of November. It is 15 degrees outside and is mostly cloudy today, which is pretty good. No rain so far, so no excuses to get the lawns done. I have Joe in the studio. Hi, Joe.
Hiya.
How are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
Good, good. The reason why I've asked you to come in because is I follow you on Facebook, and you have a education centre. What is that called?
Potangaro Education. It's a family business.
Yes. So how did that come about?
A number of us have been involved in different aspects of education for years now. My wife was an early childhood for about nearly 25 years.
Oh, wow.
Our oldest daughter's a primary teacher.
Wow.
Her husband's a secondary teacher. Second oldest is an intermediate.
Wow.
Yeah. And we have other connections through that as well. So we thought, we'll do our own thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why I've asked you to come in. But firstly, I want to know, so where did you grow up?
I'm now 53.
Yes.
And the majority of that has been spent in Masterton or on the outskirts of Masterton.
Yeah.
Yeah, so born in the old Masterton Hospital.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. How did you find growing up here in Masterton?
Oh, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Because we live just over the river from Henley Lake.
Yes.
So semi-rural. And then came in across the river, Lansdowne School.
Yeah.
Hiona Intermediate.
Yeah.
Makaurau.
Yeah.
Yeah, another one.
Yes.
But, you know, the friends and things is just really good.
Yeah. You get, it is actually quite cool growing up in this town. And from going to those schools, I remember way back when I was a teenager, I was a badass. Anyway, I remember coming to do some work for you when you were the Youth Justice Coordinator?
Yeah, Youth Justice Coordinator at Rangitane.
Yeah, that's right. And so you've done quite a lot since then, haven't you?
Very varied.
Yeah. And so has that always been the same sort of thing, though? Is it stuff that you do for the community?
Oh, there's been work for the government and then for both iwi.
Yeah.
Lots of schools.
Yeah.
Some businesses even.
Oh, wow.
So kind of like I say, I'm all over the place. But
But is your main focus now the education centre?
Yeah, it is. And within that, it's a little bit of Māori history and culture, general history.
Yeah.
Of Masterton and the Wairarapa.
Yeah.
Environmental stuff, bit of health.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think
thing to connect in some way and link together, so...
Yeah. I've noticed a lot of your posts, you do a lot of really good walks with people. Can you tell me more about those?
Yeah, it's part of that thing of, I guess, if you go for a walk, you can talk about a whole lot of different things.
Yeah.
Just look at what's around you.
Yeah, there are a lot of river walks, aren't they?
Yeah, rivers, mountains, sometimes get out the coast.
Yeah.
Or on farms.
Yeah. You have to get permission in that first? So is that hard to get?
Probably. Not so much because of other background stuff.
Yeah.
Got to know quite a few people over time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess proves that you go out and you respect
their
place. So then they let you back again.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you've always got to ask. And
And those river walks must be quite interesting because just personally for myself, I think the rivers are so different from when we were kids. Do you feel that way as well?
I was writing something the other day about where we used to go swimming.
Yeah.
And, us kids that were out Te Oriori.
Yeah.
Lansdowne kids.
Yeah.
Like South.
Yeah.
And then the kids from down the east side, all kind of converging in one spot. and that was really deep. But yeah, now it's you're lucky if you kind of get up to chest height.
Is that the one behind Henny Lake?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we're just about to jump off the cliff, eh?
Big cliff, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Honestly, this stuff used to go on, and it was just so different back then. We didn't have cell phones, we didn't have the internet. There was no, but our parents and that always seemed to know where we were. We were jumping off cliffs into rivers, but I've noticed that. I remember I used to be able to just run across the rocks in the river and stuff like that. And now, if you did that, there's just stuff on the rocks. And do you educate people about that sort of stuff, or?
Yeah, to a degree.
Mm.
Oh, I really always encourage people if they've got small children and to take them down to the rocks and things.
Yeah.
So from a skills perspective, just like getting balance and agility. And even strengthening up muscles.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
like the river and rocks is a really good place to actually learn that for kids, and then they can take it through.
Yeah.
Into adulthood as well.
Recently, didn't you walk up to the railway bridge along the river?
Yeah.
Was that an interesting walk? Because that's such a vast riverbed, isn't it? Really, like the amount of water compared to riverbeds. That would have been an amazing walk, actually.
Yeah, big wide river, the Wainawa.
Yeah.
We have lots of little. One of the meanings of the name is like waters of confusion, and so that's because of the different channels and the build-up of metal along the way.
Oh, right.
Yeah, but when you get into or underneath bridges, you notice how much the riverbed has dropped.
Oh, true.
So you see the foundations of the big concrete piles that are holding up bridges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
This isn't really ideal. That's why the... Well, part of the reason why the Colombo Road Bridge was replaced.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because when the flood happened, it did quite a lot of damage to it, didn't it?
Or potentially.
Wasn't it dropping?
Yeah, the riverbed dropped, so you have the bits that shouldn't be exposed at the bottom of the bridge.
Mm.
Yeah, supposed to be holding it together.
Mm.
You can visibly see them, and stuff started hitting those.
Oh, like yeah.
Whole trees and things slamming into those. No,
every time there's a flood. Yeah, no.
During a flood.
Yeah.
Watch it. There's literal whole trees going down there. And sometimes big concrete blocks.
It's crazy. I like to, if I'm going to go swimming in the river, I like to get as close to the mountains as I can. Kaituna. Oh, it's so beautiful out there. I remember going out there actually last summer, and I noticed everyone was just sort of sitting on the riverbed, and I was like, whatever, and I jumped in, it was ice cold. Man, and I was like, oh, shit is. I like the fact that you have so much knowledge about this region. And are you self-taught, or is there people that you can go to that can fill you in?
Oh, my adopted dad started telling me stories when I was little.
Oh, wow.
And I said to some people recently, do you remember on Sunday mornings they had the radio show?
Yeah.
And Sparky, was it the Morning Train, little tape and things like that?
Yeah.
And they just looked at me blankly. I was like, you're a bit younger, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, I used to jump into bed with him, and we'd listen to the stories on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
But he'd also tell me family stories and a bit of history.
Wow.
So from there... because of my working for the both iwi, but particularly Rangitane, uncles and aunts, especially Koro Jim Rimini.
Yeah.
Yeah, spent a lot of time with him and others.
Yeah.
And so they just kind of naturally, they start talking to you.
Yeah.
We used to go around in an old van.
Oh, wow.
I got the job to be the chauffeur with... and we visit places, and then they would talk about the history of the place as we're driving along.
Oh, wow.
Pointing out different things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So important, eh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yes, it's very much so. That I guess when you're growing up with it, like I said, it's a bit boring when you're a little kid.
Yeah.
And then you eventually realise you're probably really quite lucky.
Yeah.
But most of those kaumātua have now passed away.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
But fortunate I get to spend a fair bit of time with Gareth Winter.
Yes, isn't he interesting?
The archivist.
Yeah.
Yeah, and communicating with Gareth as well, so
yeah,
he knows a lot about everything.
He really does. And there was a guy before him, I can't remember his name, sadly. He knew a hell of a lot as well about the region, and I remember hearing some stories. I can't remember, but he was quite old when we would have been kids. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Keith Keynes.
That's the man, and yes.
I vaguely remember him as an old guy and being, just knowing lots.
He had so, so much knowledge. And, I find that these stories are important and they need to be recorded. And there are some really good locally written books that are available in the library for sale as well. And I know that Gareth Winter probably sells some from the archivist's place, which is where again?
The archivist.
Is that next
to... Near Mecca's.
Yes.
The car park.
Yes.
Pitapit,
yeah, that's it.
Yeah, they're the pizzas and Justin's behind there now.
Ah, brilliant, because those books, it's our history, it's our community, isn't it? And we only keep these stories by keeping them alive.
Yeah.
And with the things that you do, your knowledge of the land and also plants as well.
Yeah.
Like you'll say this is a certain plant or something like that. I've seen your posts.
Oh, yeah. when I was going out with the Kaumatua, and I started thinking about if we were going to a pass site, why would the people want to be here?
Yeah.
And then you start realising, it's the basic things, water, food.
Yeah.
And then, so I got interested in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the environmental stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, which ended up being, I wonder what that tree does, or, what food you can get from it, or what uses. So kind of just built on from there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant. I actually find it really, really interesting. And I know that you must as well, because you're quite passionate about it. And I will have to, once I get my new knee, you've put a call out to people who want to come on some of the walks with you and saying we're meeting here. And I'm always just like, oh, damn, because I'm waiting for my new knee. But once I get my new knee, I can't wait to get out and do that sort of thing again and walk on uneven ground and not worry about hurting myself. So I'm really and grateful to have someone like you in the community. It's such a good thing, and please don't stop ever doing it.
Oh, no, I mean, it's become even though it's not one single interest, but the collection of them
is
something that I'll just keep doing.
Yeah, and so what do you see in the future for yourself doing that? Is it just doing the same thing? Are you going to come here and maybe make some podcasts? And
I get a bit more organised.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really see myself retiring as such.
No.
Yeah.
We're way too young.
Just keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah, for as long as everything holds out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Keep going to the gym, eh, Joe?
Keep going to the gym.
Yeah.
Yeah. Try and stay healthy enough to move around, even though there's, these creeks and things.
What do they say when you get to our age? If you're not watching what you eat and not keeping fit in that, it's neglect. So I see you at the gym most mornings. Yep, I'm there. Yep. I go into and hide in a little studio and do my workout away from everyone. But it's I like the fact that when people go to the gym first thing in the morning, I know that they're serious. Because why else would you get up there early and go there? It's such a good thing. Joe, thank you so much. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Oh, no, thanks for inviting me on.
No, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much. Guys, that's Joe Pitongaroa, and I've had Anthony from Sacred Art, and I have not got his last name yet, which is...
Gunn.
Pretty cool. I don't know why I did that. But, hey, guys, this has been a brilliant show. We had an interview with Lady Six, Anthony Gunn, and Joe Pitongaroa, and I have had an absolutely brilliant time once again, like I always do. Thank you for tuning in. I think there is somebody on coming on very soon next, so remember to listen to me next week on my show, Everyday People 92.7 Arrow FM.